What's up, crew? This is episode 2 of the Biggie S'mores podcast. Today's topic of discussion is actually going to be the Jordan 33. But first and foremost, thank you to everybody who has listened to the podcast. A very big thank you to everybody that has given me feedback about the podcast. I do need to shout out my boy B-Dubs, Brian Williams, for giving me some great advice. And also, I really need to shout out my boy Jordan Mitchell, J-Money, for always having my back, always being there, not being afraid to critique me when I need it, being there to push me. Jordan's essentially my life coach. So, with that being said, let's get things rolling. So, today's main topic of discussion, the Jordan 33 was unveiled a couple weeks ago now. It's not what most people are expecting. I think a lot of people expected Jordan Brand to continue with the paying homage to the original shoes, like they did with the 31 and 32. But I'm happy to see them go in this performance direction. I think it's very good for them. Here's a little rundown on the shoe. So, the Jordan 33 is equipped with the flight speed system that we've seen in previous models. And the flight speed is a carbon fiber shank that connects the 4-foot air zoom unit and the heel one. And on the 33s, it has a large volume zoom air unit. Sounds a lot like it's the max air, like what they use in the LeBron line now. And then in the heel, they have the hex zoom unit, which I don't think we've seen since the Jordan 22. Could be wrong about that. And that's actually, it's a double stack zoom. And then the shoe overall is actually very lightweight. Straight from Jordan Brand. It says the textile upper with leather and synthetic overlays provides support that won't weigh you down. To me, it has a lot of the kind of feel shouldn't say feel. I haven't seen them. I haven't had them in my hand or seen them in person yet. But it has kind of a similar look to Hyperfuse, which, if you guys remember, was a big thing around 2011, 2012, mostly in basketball. It was used a lot in the trainers and stuff, too. But the big, big thing that shocked everybody is they've gone laceless. They have what they call a fast fit system, which is basically this series of cables that surround your foot, and you have there's a strap along the forefoot that you'll pull up on, and that actually pulls those cables tighter. There is a disc in the bottom of the shoe that turns, that kind of pulls everything in, makes that shoe fit tightly around your foot, and then to when it comes time to take them off, or if you gotta adjust them or whatever, there's two pull tabs, one on each side of the shoe that you pull up on. It's actually labeled as eject, which I think is really cool. And then, actually, in the bottom of the shoe, one of the cool things is there's a clear window where you see that little disc in the bottom. So if you were, you know, just looking at the shoe, and you pulled up on that tightening strap, you would actually see the gear in the bottom turn as it's locking up. Jordan's saying that there's 20 different locking notches in there, which is pretty cool. The cables themselves are actually made out of parachute cord, which obviously is going to be a pretty durable material. A lot of people have been saying that they've been kind of going cheap on it. I'll wait to pass judgment on that once I get them in hand or I see them in person. They're actually inspired by astronaut spacesuits, which I think is another really cool thing. And what they say with that is, you see these spacesuits that have all this technology in them, but the technology is, you know, functioning. You see it functioning. You see it on the suits and stuff. That's kind of where the whole inspiration for the 33 it went, with being able to see all the cables and all that stuff. It's pretty cool. And then a lot of, you know, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of people really thought that a shoe that we got a preview of about a week or two before the unveil, that was basically a Flyknit upper with what appeared to be a Max Zoom cushioning system, all with the silhouette, the Jordan 3 and everything. A lot of people really assumed that that was going to be the 33. Turns out it wasn't. Some people are disappointed in that. Like I said, I'm glad to see him go this performance route. Jordan Brand has always been about performance, not necessarily the aesthetic look. So I think they're heading in the right direction. They're thinking the right way. With that being said, though, there's definitely some Jordan 3 DNA in this shoe. With the kind of oversized tongue that's on them, the Jordan 3 has a really big tongue. And then the big Jumpman logo on the tongue. That's one way that they kind of pay homage to the Jordan 3. Another thing is actually the heel section of the shoe is almost identical to the heel on the Jordan 3. Even complete with a Nike Air on the back, which is kind of surprising to see them just throw Nike Air on a Jordan shoe in today's world, but I mean, we did get the swoosh 2 years ago, so a third one, which is not so obvious, it's a little bit more subtle. On the bottom of the shoe, where that window is where you can see the gear, is kind of like the Viz Air unit that's in the original Jordan 3. So there is definitely some Jordan 3 DNA in this shoe. The retail on it is actually going to be $175, which is a little bit surprising to see. typically you're not seeing price drops, as the 32 was 185, I believe. So that's a bit surprising. The one thing out of all this that's kind of bothered me a little bit, though, is the way that Jordan Brand's been marketing it. Yeah, they're saying that Jordan, that this is the first Jordan, Air Jordan, without laces, which is true, but they seem to be kind of trying to drop those hints that this is the first basketball shoe without laces, which is not true. Puma actually had it back in the early 90s with a system that's actually pretty similar to this, with what they call disc technology, which is, like I said, pretty similar to what this Fast Fit system is. And then Adidas also tried their hand with it in, I think, 2004, 2005, somewhere in there, with the T-Mac 4s. If you guys remember, Adidas actually did exclusive T-Mac 4s for the 2005 All-Star Game, in that powder blue and yellow colorways, because the All-Star Game was in Denver that year. And then they had a limited release of them. I remember Pick Your Shoes having them for a long time. It was called the Hug System, I believe. And it was pretty close. Pretty close to getting a good fit. But the biggest downside to them were the fact that they were something ridiculous, like a 27 or 28 ounce shoe. So extremely heavy. But fairly popular nonetheless. T-Mac was in his prime then, so. And then in more recent years, we've seen the LeBron Soldier line go laceless since, I believe, the Soldier 10s. So it is a little bit surprising to see, you know, Jordan Brand try and lean this way, and, you know, act like they're the first to do this when they're far from it. But it'll be interesting to see how things go with the Jordan 33. We'll see how sales are. Obviously, once again, everything, you know, kind of revolves around that performance of them. You know, we've seen Mike Conley, Victor Oladipo, Maya Moore of the WNBA, seen all them with theirs. So we'll see how it goes. I got a feeling that it's gonna be one of those shoes that, you know, 5-10 years from now, we're really gonna look back on and feel like Jordan was going in the right direction. You know, it's like a lot of those performance-based things weren't necessarily popular when they came out. So it's not until we have a little bit of time to appreciate, I don't think. Like, I myself, I'm a big fan of, like, the 17s, 18s, 19s, 20s. A lot of people don't, you know, a lot of people don't like those. A lot of people don't acknowledge Jordans after the 13, which, yeah, I'll whack for that. But I think, as we're seeing right now with, like, the 18s re-releasing in the suede colorways, they have, like, that, the blue suede, the yellow suede, and the orange suede. You know, we're kind of seeing that these shoes do have some popularity. So, like you said, it'll be interesting to see how they go. It's not necessarily a shoe that I think you could just rock. But if you want to know the truth, I'd be willing to try. But let me know what you guys think. Do you like the idea of them pushing the performance? Or would you have rather seen them gone back to paying homage to the three? Let me know. And another topic I'd like to discuss today is actually a brand that I saw is going to be re-releasing the shoe that was once a very prominent name in basketball but has since kind of fallen off. And I was kind of surprised to see this news today, but nonetheless, I really wanted to get into the discussion here. The brand I'm talking about is And One. For those of you that didn't really live through the streetball era, you might not truly understand a lot of this, but at one point, And One was the second biggest brand out there. Let me give you a quick rundown, a little bit of history. And One was actually founded in 1993 in Philadelphia. They were strictly a t-shirt company. They branded themselves to the real ballers, quote unquote. And it was just about basketball. Those of you that are old enough to remember the player who was their logo, that was his name. He was just the player. He was nameless, faceless, raceless. And he just talked a lot of shit. He was very prominent figure in basketball at that point. But within a couple of years, they managed to get into Foot Locker and have distribution in Foot Locker stores. And in 1996, they signed a young upcoming rookie from Coney Island, Stephon Marbury, and they released their first basketball shoe, which was the Starbury. They had quite a bit of success, and actually by 2001 they were second to only Nike in NBA endorsees. So they laced up, so the only brand that laced up more guys than them was Nike. And by 2004, Chauncey Billups became the first and so far only player to win the NBA Finals MVP in And One. He wore the And One Ryzen that season, and then after that season, he ended up getting a deal with Adidas. Fun fact for you, because everybody knows I'm a huge Pistons fan, so. And as far as I know, though, the last guys in the NBA that were wearing And One was Lance Stephenson. I know the Morris brothers, Marcus and Markieff, were also And One for a while, but I know it didn't last. I believe Lance Stephenson was the last one wearing them. I don't believe they have anybody in the league right now, but they actually do still sponsor over 100 high schools and AAU teams. But the shoe that I saw today that was re-releasing again was the Edwin Taichi, which this release is supposed to pay homage to Vince Carter's performance in the dunk contest and that, which great premise and all, but come on, guys. How many times are we going to re-release the Tai Chi? Don't get me wrong, Tai Chi's a great shoe. It's classic. It's up there in the echelon of basketball sneakers. But we don't need a release what seems like every year. I don't understand it, but you know, I guess part of me does because we know that N1 needs to stay relevant somehow. You know, they're not just gonna stay relevant on those Walmart shelves. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Nothing wrong with a good affordable shoe. But I digress. So the history of And1 was sort of iconic. They had this huge rise and then a huge fall. I mean, like they said, they were founded in 1993, and by 2001 they were releasing out the second most NBA players, you know? So, I mean, that's huge. But then by 2010 they'd fallen off again. And in fact, I remember, I want to say it was like 2009, 2010, up until like 2009, 2010. And1 actually had the back page ad in Slam Magazine. They had those back two pages, not the back cover, but like the last two pages in there. It was up until like 2009 or 2010, and then Under Armour actually got it. And it's kind of been a steady decline since then. It's sad to see, but you know, it's part of that cycle. And once again, you know, Tai Chi's a great shoe, but I don't understand why we're dropping it again. You know, doesn't make a lot of sense, man. What are you gonna do? Alright, guys. I just want to thank everybody for listening. Continue to leave me that feedback, please. Continue to help me get better. Ultimately, this show is about you guys listening to me. So, any feedback would be appreciated. Hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. It's all at Biggie S'mores. That's at Biggie S'mores. BIGGIE _ SMORES. Hit me up. Like I said, any feedback will be appreciated. Thank you very much. Stay tuned for episode 3 coming soon. Peace and much love to you.